Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 22nd day of July, 2024. We just had a historic day yesterday in that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, has pulled out of the presidential race and therefore is endorsing his vice president, Kamala Harris, to pick up the mantle and run in his stead for the presidency. So obviously, that is sufficient news to drive us all to our knees in prayer. And I'm sure you'll be hearing updates even as this program broadcasts live. And please pray for our nation. Before I introduce my guest and the topic for the day, I have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, this is a reminder to all men in ministry leadership. You are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. The guest speaker for the very first time ever is Dr. Joe Boot, who is an author, a scholar, theologian. He is an evangelist, conference speaker, and founder and president of the Ezra Institute. This is a free event, as always, and not only is admission free and your food free and being edified by Dr. Boot's message free and your time of rest, relaxation, fun, feasting, and fellowship free, everybody will also get a heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So if you're a man in ministry leadership and you can get to Perry County, Pennsylvania, Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, to be more precise, on Thursday, October 10th of this year, we urge you to register for this free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line and you will be automatically registered for this free event. Also, a reminder that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in serious need of your financial support. We had two of our advertisers out of necessity due to a financial crisis of their own had to decline my invitation to them to renew their sponsorship for this program. So we are quite concerned about this, obviously, and we need your financial help urgently. So please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We truly need your help. If you really love the show, you enjoy listening to it every day, you enjoy the guests and topics that sometimes are never heard anywhere else, You enjoy winning free books when we interview authors and you submit questions. You enjoy passing on the free downloadable MP3s to family, friends, and loved ones. If you love all that, please help us remain in existence. Go to IronTruppensIronRadio.com, click support, and then click to donate now to help us out of this financial rut. Well, I am thrilled to have back on the program a man I consider a dear friend and brother in Christ, as well as being one of my very favorite guests to interview on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Jerry Johnson. He's a very well-known Christian apologist and documentarian, most well-known for co-writing and creating the DVD series Amazing Grace, The History and Theology of Calvinism, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary of existence pretty soon. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, Justification by Death, Examining the False Gospel of Sentimentalism, and He is in a Better Place Now Theology. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced being at a funeral or a wake or just hearing the news from someone you know about the death of a loved one. Perhaps you even see and hear it in a news report on television, and you will occasionally hear the person giving you the news saying that this person is in a better place now. And even if you know that the person that they are referring to never made it apparent that they repented of a scandalous, sinful lifestyle, or in the case of just hearing this news from a brother in Christ who is trying to put the best spin on the news that a loved one of theirs died, and even if this person made no profession of faith in Christ, they are telling everyone that they are confident that dad has now joined mom in heaven, or any of these kinds of comments when there is no evidence given, or there has been no evidence given, that we should have such confidence and peace over this person's death. Well, we're going to be addressing that today with my friend Jerry Johnson, and it's so great to have you back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate being here.
Well, why was it that you were so compelled to address this specific topic today?
Well, before we get started, I want to address another topic, if you don't mind.
All right.
Because I'm a doofus. I heard your introduction that we interview, what is it, scholars and historians and theologians, and I thought, what about doofuses? Because I'm a doofus.
Well, that is certainly a mischaracterization of yourself. Everybody who knows who you are would obviously receive that as a joke, because it's certainly not true. But go ahead, brother.
You know, my pastor is supposed to be listening today because he wanted to take notes and record all my heresies and bring it up to the session. So, hello, Roland. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, I'm a doofus because every year I forget my wife's birthday. I mean, every year without fail. And I'm sitting there looking at the calendar, and I know it's coming up. And then about 5 days before it comes up, I'm screaming like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm running around like, what do I do? What do I do? Well, Royal Diadem saved me last year.
Yep.
And they saved me in a big way. And I got a ring from my wife because she told me years ago, if you can't think of anything else, get me jewelry. I like that. So
really, a woman said that? That's so hard to believe.
It's actually written in the 11th commandment and Jude chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 7. So anyway, they FedExed that we actually looked at different rings online, I got her ring size. They fitted it to her specifically. They FedExed it to me, and it was here before her birthday. I think like 1 or 2 days before her birthday. And she was very grateful. And so I just want to say a shout out to Royal Diadem because they saved me.
Yes, and Royal Diadem saves me with their monthly financial support. And also, for those of you who don't know, and you'll be hearing the ad coming up during our first commercial break, they are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing their jewelry. Their website is royaldiadem.com. Royaldiadem.com. So I urge you to go to that website today if you want to kill two birds with one stone, as they say, and get a beautiful piece of jewelry while at the same time helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can accomplish that by buying jewelry at royaldiadem.com and also just mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. But thank you, Jerry, for spontaneously and voluntarily doing that. I did not coerce Jerry to give that plug to my sponsor, and I am very glad that he did. Well,
Wait a minute. You didn't give me any. I thought I was getting a free coffee.
Well, that I could promise you.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Now, you had asked me, because I've been kind of beating the drum on this subject matter, which, you know, the thing is, I've seen a lot on like Facebook that people will say, I want to say happy birthday to my dad who's in heaven. Or I watched this clip on YouTube one time. It totally shocked me. But as I was watching this clip of this tragedy, this girl, she was a porn star, had died. And her friends were talking about how good of a person she was, and she's now in a better place. She actually committed suicide. And I don't know. I don't know if she's in heaven. I doubt it doesn't look good for her.
Well, obviously, if she repented before she died, because even if somebody commits suicide, sometimes they don't die instantly. And yeah. She may have repented during that, if she had a time of lingering death. So, you know, obviously, Christ saved the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, and he could save anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the thing that kind of bothers me is I've known people that were drunks, that were drug addicts, that beat their wife, that stole any chance they could get, they would steal from somebody, and they're dead now, and I don't know their state. They could be in heaven, but it doesn't look good for them. But the thing is, most folks today don't believe in justification by grace through faith in Christ alone. They don't even believe in justification by works. They seem now, at least the masses, seem to believe in justification by death. And I think that's the coolest thing that you could ever give anybody comfort, is the idea that just because they died, they went to heaven. We don't know. It's all up to God.
And backing up a little bit, I'm sure you have no problem, as I don't. Maybe I'll find out I'm wrong in a minute. But I don't have any problem. In fact, I have done it publicly, wishing a loved one that I know is in heaven a happy birthday. I have wished my wife, my late wife, a happy wedding anniversary. But I have also said she's experiencing infinitely more joy in the presence of Christ than any anniversary this earth could possibly provide. But you're talking about people who are saying this automatically just because somebody died, whether or not they had Christ covering
yes.
their sins or not.
Yes.
And it's not just the concern that I have, which is one of the reasons I wholeheartedly agreed to do the topic, to cover the topic, is because this goes on with professing Christians.
Yes.
And they, now I'm not saying that you should go to a funeral and voluntarily approach someone and tell them as you're standing in front of the coffin, by the way, I have little doubt that your loved one is in heaven. Or should I say, I have little doubt that your loved one is in hell, I should say. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't voluntarily hurt someone. And on top of that, we don't have infallible knowledge of where someone is because they may have come to faith and repentance apart from our awareness. Even if it's your own loved one, unless you're with them when they utter their last breath and they're cursing God, we don't know for certain. If we've been evangelizing them or if somebody else has, we don't know what may have taken root in their heart and mind. I'm assuming you would think that although we should not give people false hope and tell them, I know your mom's in heaven just because the person died, and they know that they have a heartbroken child here. We are not to do the other with certainty either. Oh, I know your mom or dad is in hell. You know that. That's...
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, brother. What I would do, when I was 40 years old, in my 40s, I should say, I asked my old pastor. All right, I have a confession to make here. I used to be Reformed Baptist. Do you know what a Reformed Presbyterian is?
What's that?
A Sanctified Baptist.
I'll accept so that insult.
I used to be Reformed Baptist, and the pastor at that time, he has since passed away from cancer. His name was Larry Marlin, and I asked Larry, I said, hey, Larry, what do you do if you are doing a funeral for somebody, and it looks pretty good that they're not a Christian. What do you do? Because they never made a valid profession of faith. They never had anything, any inclination towards God at all or the gospel. How do you approach that? Because you're right. You can't tell the family, hey, he's in hell and he's burning or whatever. You know, you can't do that. That's not being, I guess, sensitive to them. I said, so what do you do? Because I knew he wouldn't give them false hope, false assurance. And he said, all I could do is explain the gospel and hopefully they hear it. And that was it. There was nothing else he can do. But our culture right now seems to believe that if you have an intellectual assent to God or to the Lord Jesus, my wife and I, we love these so-called murder documentaries like A&E and stuff like that. And we were watching one about 2 months ago, and the guy's rationale was, well, I'm going to be saved anyway, so I'll go ahead and murder this whole family. And I was like, you got to be kidding. This was his attitude. You know, how is that any difference than the indulgences that John Tesla was selling, you know, when Martin Luther opposed him? If you believe, well, now it's if you have intellectual assent, let me say. And a lot of people will have intellectual assent to the God of the Bible or the gospel or Jesus Christ. But in the end, they don't really believe. They believe that they're real, but they don't believe the gospel. They don't embrace it.
Now, in this case, what you're talking about right now is the errors of professing Christians, because obviously many people, perhaps the majority in the world, don't look for any kind of evidence that relates to a faith. They will just say that the person's good, you know, or was good. The person made them happy. The person was kind to them. The person was a good parent, a good spouse, and they believe, if they believe in an afterlife, that that person will be in some kind of better place. And if they don't believe in an afterlife, they'll just say that they're better off being unconscious or out of existence.
Oops. Sorry, I muted my mic. Okay. Wrong way. So, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I sit there and I talk to people and they're like, you know, well, she believed in God or she believed in the gospel. In fact, that porn actress I'm speaking about, I don't remember her name, but it, like I said, it was a YouTube clip and it happened, you know, probably 8-9 years ago. And she had headlined many pornographic films. She was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and she was arrested numerous times for stealing, and she was 24 years old, and she committed suicide. Now, I don't know if she's in heaven or not, but I'm not going to give her friends false assurance that that's all you need to do. And I don't know where people are getting this from, you know?
Well, it's because it all goes back to, I think, a dominant theology that exists in Christendom today. And I'm not saying that people call it a theology, but it is a theology nonetheless, and it's a bad theology. People exalt the priority of the feelings of others above and beyond the truth, and they want to spare the feelings of others as a far more important thing than warning them about the wrath to come if they haven't repented. And they sometimes it's just because they have a misguided compassion for someone. I mean, we should always have compassion for people who are wounded and hurting and in pain and in a trial of some kind. But yes, we are not to give them a false hope.
False hope. Yeah,
and we're not to encourage them in their own delusion, because that just further fans the flames of people who believe that all you got to do is not be the worst kind of grotesque, scandalous sinner, and you don't have to worry about the afterlife. You know, there are people, the way they talk sometimes, you would think that if they actually put it down on paper what they believe about the afterlife, the only people in hell are Adolf Hitler and serial killers.
Right.
And of course, we know that there may be some serial killers in heaven because they repented when they were on death row or what have you.
Yeah.
But we have to go to our first commercial break. And if you have a question of your own, please send it in to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnson in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you just heard earlier in the program from my guest's own mouth how wonderful an experience he had with RoyalDiadem.com when he purchased his wife, Tracy, a beautiful ring for her birthday. And it got there quickly via FedEx, and she was thrilled with it. I remember her showing it off in social media. And that could be you, too. If you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or somebody you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com. And I'm urging you to go to RoyalDiadem.com today, even if you're not making your final purchase today. There's a reason for the urgency, because we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com is going to pull the plug on an amazing offer they are still providing for us. They are giving 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. They're giving 100% of the profits to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing their jewelry, whether it's jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, especially if you need something real quick, or even if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, and you're turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of stunning, breathtaking jewelry. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. So whatever it is, if it's something they have in stock or a customized piece of jewelry, please go to royaldiadem.com today to get the ball rolling and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio just to make sure that we will definitely get 100% of the profits from that sale because we don't know when they're going to pull the plug on this offer. So please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Jerry Johnson, and he is a world-renowned apologist and documentarian. And we are discussing justification by death, and we are subtitling this Examining the False Gospel of Sentimentalism, and He's in a Better Place Now Theology. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com and give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. A verse that immediately pops into my head, Jerry, when it comes to people that elevate the importance of sparing people's feelings above the truth is Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I have said to people when they hear about somebody, a friend, for instance, whose loved one dies, that person is dead. There is no future opportunity to evangelize that person. This is really an occurrence of the past now, even if it's the recent past. So I don't think that when you're talking to a person, you need to bring up the eternal state of their loved one. Of course, if you know that they were a Christian, you can definitely give them all the confidence in the world that that person is experiencing eternal bliss, indescribable bliss in the presence of Christ. But if you don't know, you don't even have to dwell on that person. You dwell on the people who are hearing you now. And you, for instance, the pastors that I know that I have the highest respect for, at a funeral, when somebody has died that the funeral is a memorial for, they will not dwell on the person who died necessarily, especially as far as their afterlife. They will dwell on the need for everybody listening to repent and believe upon Christ.
Yes.
So you would agree with that?
Just like the person that died, if they truly died in a state of grace, they had genuine faith. Yes, I would say you're right. You should dwell on the people that are there, but you can give them assurance at that point. But what gets me and what I see as a cultural phenomenon, because you know I hang out at the Moose Lodge quite a bit, and I always hear, oh, I want to say happy birthday to my dad who is in heaven. Well, your dad, I'm sorry, he didn't believe, he didn't repent. I mean, it doesn't look good for him, but you look at the idea, well, he believed in God. Well, the demons believe in God and tremble. So it's not evidently not a salvific belief. And so I think my dogs are fixing to come into my office. They'd like to come in here to make sure, see what I'm doing. So I've got a dog that is very sweet, but she is about the most mischievous dog you have ever met. She chews everything. We keep hoping she'll outgrow it. She hasn't yet.
That dog needs to repent and believe.
She does. Once we get off the phone.
The thing that strikes me about the he's in a better place now theology is that's just as much typically a heretical works-based understanding of theology, as the other extreme, where you have someone being fed a lie, like either from the false gospel of dogmatic Roman Catholicism, where people are told that if they are absolutely certain that they are going to heaven when they die, that's the sin of presumption, that we're always to be doubting or questioning whether or not we will go to heaven. That's horrible and wrong. And the religion of the cults and world religions that teach that you have to jump through all kinds of hoops and be on a works righteousness treadmill your whole life, and you never know for certain where you'll be when you die until you open your eyes after death. That's one extreme, but it's still a works righteousness idea that if you say that you know someone you love is in heaven because they were, compared to many people, if not most people, just a nice person. That is also somehow a meriting of eternal life in heaven.
They did more good than bad.
Yeah, the scales.
I will tell you this. I was working out the other night, and an event hit my mind that, you know, I was listening to a sermon, and an event hit my mind that happened like 25 years ago. We lived up in the mountains at the time, all right? And we had a wraparound deck, and my oldest son and my daughter had got this little pup tent, and they wanted to sleep out on the porch in the pup tent. And I thought, well, you know, they can't get harmed, or I'm going to leave the door open. If they want to sleep out there, that's okay with me. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, my daughter woke up and she didn't know where she was. And she started screaming. And so, needless to say, I jumped out of bed, I ran downstairs, and I grabbed her, and I held her, and I said, "Hey, Karis, you wanted to sleep in the tent. You're out on the front porch." And she was pretty inconsolable at that time. And so I took her back upstairs to Tracy and mine's bed. I laid her in the bed and I let her sleep with us. Yes, I left my son out on the porch because he was fine. He would sleep through a nuclear war, I swear. That kid would. But anyway, I thought about that as I was working out, and I was able to help my daughter at that time. But there's gonna, you know, there's a day I'm not going to be able to help her, and that is on that day. And she's going to wake up, you know, or some people are going to wake up, and they're going to be in hell, and they're going to start screaming, and there's nothing anybody can do for them. You know, they rejected the gospel. First off, I did want to, I have it on number 7 on my list. But I wanted to talk about the age of accountability, because
sure,
this was something we had to deal with when we were doing the Amazing Grace documentary.
Right.
Because people would ask me, well, what do you do about people that never heard the gospel? The thing is, people do not go to hell because they have not heard the gospel. People go to hell because we're born sinners.
Right.
Yeah, we're totally depraved. Every single one of us, you, me, R.C. Sproul, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, I don't care who it is, deserves hell. And I liked what Dr. Kennedy said when I interviewed him for the Amazing Grace documentary.
D. James Kennedy.
Yes. He said there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that don't deserve to be there. And there's going to be a lot of people in hell that they deserve to be there. Now, I probably just slaughtered his quote.
In fact, but everybody who's in heaven doesn't deserve to be there, and everybody in hell deserves to be there.
So this age of accountability, it's something that when you have the belief that people need to hear the gospel, or they automatically go to heaven, you know, that would make abortion doctors the greatest evangelist of all time.
Right.
You know, in fact, it would be cruel to send out missionaries. If some aborigine in the darkest jungle of Africa never heard the gospel, then that would be better than if he heard the gospel and rejected it.
In fact, that very thing was something that I confronted Father Mitch Pacwa with, who is a Jesuit priest, a really nice guy, wonderful guy, brilliant guy. He debated James White a number of times, and I orchestrated two of those debates. But one time when I was filling in for Andy Anderson on the radio station I worked for 15 years, WMCA 570 AM in New York, which still exists, a Salem Media affiliate, largest Christian radio network in the world. I was filling in for the talk show host, Andy Anderson, before I had my own show. And I had both James White on and Father Mitch Pacwa to promote the debate that they were going to be having. But the theme of the interview was on Islam, because both of them have a very thorough knowledge and expertise of Islam and the Quran and the Hadith and so forth. And I said to Father Pacwa that your catechism teaches that Muslims adore the same one true God as Christians. And he said, oh, yes, I believe that. And I said to him, why would a Muslim, in your opinion, go to hell? Well, if they had significant, adequate knowledge of the Christian faith, and they knowingly and consciously rejected that, they would be held accountable and go to hell. So I said to him, well, why do you believe in sending missionaries to Muslims? And he says, oh, because they need Christ. And I said, why do they need Christ? You're putting them more in jeopardy by giving them the opportunity to hear the good news of Christ and reject it. And of course, yes, Roman Catholics have a different idea of what the good news is anyway. And I don't know if Father Pacwa, I don't think he is a dishonest man. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he really didn't understand the dilemma that he was in, because he kept saying, you know, and I don't understand. We need Christ. Everybody needs Christ. And I kept saying, yeah, but according to you, the only way a Muslim is going to hell is if he understands Christianity and consciously rejects it. So that's just to flesh out what you were just talking about in a specific example.
Yeah, I was at a church one time. It was not a Reformed church. They were pretty Arminian, and I can remember their guest speaker that they had talked about the aborigine in the, I think they're actually from Australia, but he said the deepest, darkest jungle in Africa. And he said, as long as they're a good aborigine, I believe they'll go to heaven. And after the sermon, I said to him, but Christ made it clear that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. And he looked and he said, yeah, you're right. It's like that thought had never crossed his mind before. And, you know, the thing is, we're either going to believe Christ's words there or we're not.
Yeah.
And this age of accountability, when you reject total depravity, which even your most rank Arminian would acknowledge. Now, I would believe that they don't take it to its logical conclusion, but even your worst rank Arminian would say that, you know, that you have to have Christ. So why can they not connect the dots? I don't know. If you point it out to them, they can. But Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way to the Father. There's not multiple ways. If you're a good aborigine or whatever you are, that doesn't make any difference. you have to go through Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah, R.C. Sproul had a sermon that he titled, "What About the Poor Innocent Native in Africa?" And at the very end of the sermon, and I hate to be, what's that word they use when you're ruining the end of a movie? Spoiler alert. Well, at the end of that sermon, R.C. Sproul said the reason that there will be no poor innocent natives who die and are in heaven is because there are no poor innocent natives. And he was stressing the word innocent. There is no one who is innocent. And like you said, when the person is standing before Christ on Judgment Day, when they're asking Christ, why are you sending me to hell? He's not going to say, because you didn't believe in me. He's going to list all the sins that they committed, if he even needs to do that. And they are going to hell because of their sin. And just as we believe that salvation through meritorious works of the sinner is a heresy, a damnable heresy, and so is the gospel of salvation by ignorance, which is what we're talking about right now.
Right. When you believe in the age of accountability, as I was saying before, the abortion doctors would be the greatest evangelists of all time. The problem is you're going to be inconsistent at that point with what the Bible says. And you're going to have to create a whole superstructure of theology that is not biblical.
Right. And the age of accountability, just because there may be listeners who don't know what that term is, that is the teaching that until you reach a certain age in your childhood or adulthood, depending upon what religion it is, you are safe in the eyes of God, not necessarily saved, but safe in that God is not going to hold you accountable for your sins if you are too young. That's basically the age of accountability. Am I right?
Yeah. And you know, if you look, I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, and this morning I was actually reading the first four chapters of Deuteronomy. I can't even say it. And it was talking about the children of Israel going into Canaanite villages and killing every man, woman, and child. Did those children have the age of accountability? I mean, the problem is they weren't guilty before. They might not have been guilty before a bar of man, but they were guilty, as all of us are, before the bar of God. And we're all sinners.
Yeah, you just reminded me of the Mountains Meadow Massacre, where Mormons in the 1800s killed everybody in a wagon train heading west, passing through Utah, and they killed all these non-Mormons, but they spared the lives of the children 8 years and older, and took them and adopted them because they were of the age of accountability and they would have gone to hell otherwise, or something of that effect. But anyway, we have to go to our midway break right now. Please, if you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Mattay in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Thank you.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back as far away as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, and extending through all the centuries, all the way throughout the history of the world until our modern day, including such modern day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So you can't go wrong at solid-ground-books.com. Let me highlight two books that somewhat reflect our topic today. We have Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings, by Elise Fitzpatrick. And we also have available through solid-ground-books.com The Saints' Everlasting Rest, a treatise of the blessed state of the saints in their enjoyment of God and glory, by Richard Baxter, abridged by Tim Cooper, and foreword by Johnny Erickson Tata. And they have a multitude of other books spanning the spectrum on subjects and all theologically sound. Please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my conversation with Jerry Johnson, Jerry Bridges is now in heaven as we speak, but Jerry Johnson is still trudging through life here on earth. Before I return to my conversation with Jerry Johnson, we have some important reminders for you. As I said in the outset of this program, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, we really need your help. We had two advertisers who, out of necessity because of their own financial crisis, had to decline my invitations to them to renew their advertising contracts. And that comes to a big blow to us here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we need your help more than ever. Please, if you really love this show and you've never given to the show before, please make your first donation right now at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. if you even give every month and you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, well, please make today your largest gift ever, if in fact you can afford to do so. At IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We really need your help, folks. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And always remember, no matter how desperate we are for your donations and no matter how urgently we need them, I never want anybody in my audience giving your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving in order to bless us with a financial gift. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use it to provide for our church and our family. And providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show and you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please, if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, share some of that money with us. We really need your help. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have helped many people in our audience spanning the globe find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that are biblically faithful. And that may be you too, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. If you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jerry Johnson, the renowned apologist and documentarian. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And we do have a listener for you. We have Dale in Seaford, Long Island, New York. And Dale wants to know, what do you think of these so-called Christian theologies that teach that people will have a second chance after death to accept Christ, some kind of post-mortem evangelism going on? And I've heard about that existing in some churches. Yeah, actually, I have too, Jerry. I don't know if you knew that there is a version of that that is taught by Tony Evans, who recently resigned from the ministry. I believe this was the very thing that caused John MacArthur years ago to break fellowship with him. He had a theology that he developed, or perhaps an eschatology, called transdispensationalism, nothing to do with transgenderism, folks. Transdispensationalism, where people who were ignorant of the gospel, like you were talking about earlier, they had a second opportunity after death to embrace or reject Christ. And of course, you do have the false Roman Catholic teaching of invincible ignorance, which teaches that if you don't have sufficient understanding of of Christ and the gospel, you will not be condemned. But anyway, go ahead, Jerry. What do you think about this idea of the second chance after death?
Yeah, brother, again, I would like to see where that's biblical, because I don't see it. So I would say that is a goofy doctrine. I mean, that's all I could say about it. It sounds goofy. I mean, that's it. I don't know what else to say. You know, the church has maintained that it's appointed once it's appointed to all men once to die, and then comes the judgment. It doesn't say that there's a second opportunity to receive the gospel. In fact, I would maintain that those who are in hell, they probably don't like being there, but they're not going to repent and believe anyway.
I think you can remove the word probably from that sentence. They definitely don't like being
there. All right. There we go. Yeah. You know, I have never heard of that. I'm sorry. I'm not a big follower of Tony Evans. I never was. But I mean, the only thing I could say is that's goofy. That's not in scripture. But see what happens when you teach a doctrine like the age of accountability, then you're going to create an entire superstructure of theology that's not biblical. And
one thing we know is biblical is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment.
Yeah. So I don't know where they're getting this from. You know, I couldn't even guess. It's a thing. I've seen it a lot. They try to defang God. You got to remember, God's mercy, God is merciful, but he's also a God of justice. He's also a God of anger. He's also a God of wrath. He's just as much a God of love as he is a God of wrath. And unfortunately, a lot of the church doesn't believe that. That they have an image of God, that he's some kindly old grandfather in heaven who winks at sin. And he doesn't. There is a consequence for sin, whether it's laid on Christ or it's laid on the sinner. Now,
okay, we have Laramie in Toronto, Canada. And Laramie asks, please explain how we can convince those that approach us that say a loving God would not send people to hell, and therefore we are being far too harsh and cruel in our theology.
It is appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can you convince somebody of that? I don't know. I mean, I think the only person that convinced them is the Spirit of God himself. And so, you know, you could sit there and you could argue for the existence of God, but when the final analysis comes, all you're going to do is convince people that maybe some type of higher being exists. Unless the Spirit of God illuminates the soul and causes that person to be born again, they're not going to believe the Word of God.
Right. And doesn't this have to do a lot with that if God were to just let everyone, regardless of their faith and repentance, he would welcome them into heaven along with those that even suffered in the name of Christ and so on, that this would lack justice, and God is a perfectly just God. Doesn't that have a lot to do with why God is not, his goodness does not contradict his other attributes?
Yeah. His attributes are consistent. He's consistently just. He's consistently merciful. He's consistently wrath. You know, so whatever it is. But yes, if Christ suffered and you receive him, but he still lets people go to heaven that didn't receive him, then would that say for God having Christ crucified unless we all go to heaven? And we know that there's a hell because Judas was there. It would have been better for him if he had never been born. There are numerous passages that you could point to that talk about hell. In fact, Christ talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. And I was a young Christian, and I had this, we were at a pastor's conference, And this one pastor said to me, if we really love people, we will tell them about hell. And I believe that, you know, and that's what Christ did. And there was a lot of people who didn't receive it. The Pharisees didn't receive it, you know. There were a lot of them, a lot of the Jews. He came unto his own, but his own received him not, you know. They embraced darkness instead of the light. Christ did not die for them. In fact, he even says, they ask him, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? And he said, I already told you, and you do not believe. That is because it was not for you. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. You know, so why does God choose one person and not another? Why did God choose Chris Arnson and not Adolf Hitler? I don't know. I know why he didn't choose Chris Arnson. No offense, brother. Because Chris is not noble. Chris is not righteous. He needs Christ. And that is what all of us need.
Amen. Let's see. We have a Lemuel in Spanish Fork, Utah, who wants to know, I know there is much debate and dispute amongst brothers in Christ as to the eternal state of babies who die while still in infancy. I was wondering what you two believe. Well, I could tell you before you start, Jerry. I'm one of those rare Reformed Baptists that believes and agrees with Charles Spurgeon that infants who die while in infancy are of the elect, that God would not allow them to die while in that state unless they were still, unless they were of the elect, because, not because they are perfect, not because they don't have the sin of Adam, but because wherever I see a description of people being cast into hell, they are going there because of actual active and willful sin that they have not repented from. So I'm not alone in this. Spurgeon did teach that. And I'm not saying that I hold that to such a core belief that my brethren who disagree with me are heretics, but it seems to me the most prominent view amongst Reformed people is agnosticism on this. They'll just say, well, we know that there are elect infants, but we don't know whether all infants who die are of the elect. So they'll just claim ignorance on it. So how do you explain that?
Yeah, brother, I would say because we're all born and conceived in sin, that we're guilty of hell, we're worthy of
right.
hell.
Right, that is without question. Even Spurgeon believed that about babies.
I would say, I think Spurgeon was wrong on this issue.
All right, show's over, folks.
You know, the thing is, I know that there's not going to be a single person in heaven that deserves to be there. And there's not going to be a single person in hell that doesn't deserve to be there. So that's the way I would answer it. Yeah, you call it ignorance or agnostic, but I don't know. The thing is, I'm not going to make that judgment. I don't know. Could they all be in heaven? I sure hope so. Could they all be in hell? I don't know. I know they're because of the sin of Adam, they're worthy to go there, but it's they don't deserve heaven. So, I mean, whatever God wants, I don't deserve heaven.
And we have somebody. Let's see here. We have Rodrigo in. Let's see, where is Rodrigo from? Rodrigo is from Bayside, Queens, New York, and he just is correcting me. You said earlier the children at the Mountain Meadows Massacre were spared by the Mormons who were 8 and younger for a wrong reason. They were spared so that they couldn't be eyewitnesses. They would be too small to accurately give an account of what happened. Okay. I'm sorry if I misrepresented the situation. I was really going off memory, and I guess it was faulty. But can you really reiterate and clarify why this is so important? It's and I can say with certainty it has nothing to do with you or I having a cruel bent in our hearts where we want to rob people of some kind of peace of mind and joy when a loved one dies. It's like we are bursting their bubble, if you will, that they are taking comfort in that person being in heaven for reasons that are not biblical. But the Bible never gives us the liberty to offer hope based on falsehood. Isn't that really, aren't we to love God and his truth even more than people's feelings?
Now, when I see a post on Facebook, I want to say hello to my father who's in heaven or happy birthday or whatever. And I happen to know, I knew their father. And I mean, the chances of, that he's in heaven, it doesn't look good. But ultimately, I don't know. But I only immediately begin typing on my keyboard, hey, your dad's in hell. You know, right. I don't do that. You know, but what I'm saying is, we've got to be so careful that we, especially at a funeral, we don't give that false hope. You know, we need to present the gospel. If you pay attention to my Facebook page, many times I will put on there something about that false hope. And, you know, I just want people to know that it's not even an intellectual assent. In fact, that leads us into the next subject matter. What is true faith? And brother, we're getting towards the bottom of the hour. Are you going to have to break for a commercial?
We have one more break that's going to be in less than 10 minutes. Why?
In less than 10 minutes? All right, that's enough time. Because I wanted to introduce that subject matter, what is true faith? Now, let me tell you what really brought this about. It was John MacArthur's book on the Lordship controversy. And
the Gospel According to Jesus.
Yes.
Which was, now, which is the first in a series of books that he did on that.
What I believe, and I actually agree with John MacArthur on this, because I saw it many times when I was a Southern Baptist with a brain full of mush, all right? Many times you would go into a church, and you see this on that documentary, the E&E documentary that you, my wife and I watched. They believed that they were eternally secure. There was actually an old ditty, free from the law, O blessed condition, we may sin as we please and still have remission. If you believe that you can do that, that is a doctrine straight from the gates of hell. You are not believing the true gospel. And so what? We were watching that murder documentary, and that guy was reasoning. Well, now that I'm eternally secure, I can murder this whole family with impunity. And what he had done was he had given intellectual assent to a few facts about the gospel, and that was it. And he didn't believe Jesus was Lord. He didn't believe that he shouldn't commit these sins. He believed that he could violate the Ten Commandments, and they had no bearing on him whatsoever. And this was a guy, I'm sorry, he murdered a whole family for this reason, or as justification that he could do it, because he was eternally secured. And I hate to tell that man, no, you can't. A true believer is not going to do that, which leads us to the issue. And this is what I like to say. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is indisputable. But it is a life-changing faith. If you don't have a life-changing faith that leads you into the direction that Jesus Christ is Lord, I would question that faith. And I had a friend of mine, he read John MacArthur's book, The Gospels According to Jesus, or whatever it was. I read it 25 years ago. And he was adamantly against it because he said, well, that's introducing a work salvation. And I used to tell him, John, no, it doesn't. It's not introducing a work salvation. Here is what he's saying. True faith is life-changing faith. And he just couldn't see that. He wanted to maintain justification by grace through faith in Christ alone. And I agreed with him on that. You know, but the idea that you could be saved and do whatever you want to do, that's not the gospel.
And it's not in the Bible anywhere. There's no example that even remotely comes close to something like that. And in fact, the irony is, you will have these guys, a lot of them are in independent fundamentalist Baptist, King James only churches. Now, not all, I have to be very clear, I don't want to be guilty of slander and broad brushing. There are independent fundamentalist Baptists who agree with us on the necessity of repentance for salvation, repentance from sin toward God, or toward God from sin. But there are some who actually say it's a damning false gospel to say you must repent. The irony of that is, what do they want those who believe in that to do? They want us to repent from it. They want us to repent.
Right.
That makes no sense. They really, it's inescapable that you have to believe in repentance, because even if it's a belief that you believe is heretical and damnable, well, what are we supposed to do about that? We have to repent from it, don't we? So there you go. You are stuck between a rock and a hard place with that false, that false theology that you have. Well, we are going to go to our final break right now. And if anybody has a question that you'd like to add of your own, send us an email pretty quickly, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more.
On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my dear friend, going back to the 1990s, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. No matter where you live in the United States, call him at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to inform you that tomorrow I'm very excited to have a first-time guest, Joel Littlefield, who will be addressing his new book, The Kingdom-Minded Pastor, How Pastoral Partnership Advances the Gospel. I'm sorry, Advances the Kingdom. The Kingdom-Minded Pastor, How Pastoral Partnership Advances the Kingdom. And that's tomorrow, the 23rd of July, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, we are now back with our final segment of today's show with Jerry Johnson, and we are, in essence, critiquing the prominent gospel of sentimentalism. Obviously, nobody would call it that, other than what we are describing as a gospel of sentimentalism in our own words today, but people are guilty of things that they aren't necessarily conscious of. And how do you minister to people? Because this is a big part of this whole thing. We both know that we can't lie to people and give them false reasons for having peace of mind after the death of a loved one that has given no evidence that they have believed in Christ. But at the same time, how do we give comfort to them in the midst of grieving a situation like that? You know, there are parents whose rebellious teenagers die of drug overdoses or in the midst of drunk driving, and they may have been murdered in a bar fight in a nightclub, you know, in the midst of their rebellion. Could be a whole host of things. It could be their grandfather or grandmother who they love dearly, but the person, even though they were kind and generous, never gave any evidence that they believed in Christ. How do we give them comfort?
Brother, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. The thing I do know is if they died without Christ, we can't give them false hope. So, like I said, the best that I've done a couple of funerals, and you had mentioned somebody dying of a drug overdose. I knew a kid that read the Puritans, but he would say, he would tell you, I know what they say, but I haven't embraced it. He died of a drug overdose. And when I was doing his funeral, I was saying, here's what he said he believed, you know, and that's it. How can I give them comfort? I'm just there for them. I learned a long time ago that sometimes it's better just to say nothing, just be there for the loved ones. And when they ask you, you tell them the gospel, and that's all you really can do. I mean, you can't give them false hope.
Well,
I don't know.
If they're Christians, you can assure them that when they are in heaven themselves, there will be no crying and mourning and grieving. Their will be in perfect harmony with God's will. And so the time of mourning will come to an end when they themselves are in heaven. He will dry every tear from their eyes. And we can also assure people that the judge of all the earth always does what is right. And one of the reasons why Arminians are typically very inconsistent is when a loved one dies without Christ, does that person typically get driven out of their minds with guilt that they didn't evangelize that person one more time, that they didn't evangelize them enough, that they didn't evangelize them with enough love? And you could go on and on and on with the things that we could have done. Typically, an Arminian is blessed with inconsistency because they don't typically do that. But if their theology was true, the logical conclusion would be that they must share the blame of that person spending eternity in hell. Because if every single human has the potential to receive Christ after it's been adequately presented to them, why shouldn't we all share in the blame of them rejecting it? We're not perfect when we present the gospel to people.
Yeah, and brother, again, that is a question that I don't know the answer to. I know what we're called to do. By the way, Dr. John Gerstner, he had done a lecture years ago, and he said, if I'm in heaven, I'm going to be changed. How can I enjoy heaven seeing my wife or my mother or whoever, a loved one, suffering in hell? And he talked about how he's going to be changed. He's going to be justified. He's going to be having a new body and a new mind. And he's going to sit there and look at his mother suffering in hell. And he's going to see God's justice served. And he said, even though I love my mother, you know, I will know it's right if God's justice is served.
And of course, we don't know that those who will be in heaven will see that. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? God may just completely remove that from our minds. We don't.
Yeah.
I love Dr. Gerstner. He's one of my heroes, but I don't know if I agree with him that we'll actually be witnessing people burning in hell when we're in heaven.
I don't either, but I know that if you look at the story of,
the rich man and Lazarus.
The rich man of Lazarus. I was having a senior moment for a second, so I'm sorry about that. But the rich man could see, and he asked Father Abraham, "Could you even dip your finger into water and cool my tongue?"
Right.
And so we know that they could see in heaven. We don't know if they could see the other direction. We don't know that.
And we also know, although this is that story is very rarely used, as far as I have experienced, as a proof of unconditional election. But I use it that way because when the rich man is begging Abraham to send Lazarus, to raise him from the dead and send Lazarus to his brothers to warn them so that they could repent and not spend an eternity in hell with him, meaning the rich man, Abraham says they have
the prophets,
and let them hear them. And if they have the prophets and still do not, they still will not believe, even if one were to rise from the dead. Obviously, that is not only teaching unconditional election in a roundabout way, it's teaching total depravity, that even the witnessing of a resurrection, somebody being raised from the dead, if somebody is lost and rejects the oracles of God, they're not going to believe no matter what happens.
Right. You look at the children of Israel. I mean, they saw all those wonderful miracles coming out of Egypt, and they immediately, when they get to the other side of the Red Sea, woe to God that we were back in Egypt. They wanted to be back in the house of bondage. Why? I don't know. You know, I don't know, but God didn't honor them at all with the faith that he gave Abraham. So.
And I wanted to look up the verse because I was kind of butchering it there. But he said to him, meaning Abraham said to the rich man in hell, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead.
Right. So there goes the charismatic movement, doesn't it? With all their miracles, you know. Even if you see a miracle, so there are going to be people that say, hey, that's not of God.
Like the Pharisees.
Yep. And what they need is they need to have their heart changed. And that they can't do on their own. That can only happen if God chooses them and elects them to be a recipient of his grace, you know? So.
Yeah, by the way, going back to the heartache that people have when they experience the death of a loved one, when they are convinced that that loved one is lost, I am so inspired by a dear friend of mine, the woman that led me to Christ, actually, that she boldly evangelizes her children. One of them has certainly come to saving faith. She has six adult children. But she warns them that if they die without Christ, when she is in heaven, she will not be mourning over their eternity in hell. She will be doing nothing in heaven but rejoicing and praising God, and they cannot count on mom putting in a good word to God on the other side of the dirt. She is not going to have an eternity grieving over them. And that is just a part of her boldness when evangelizing them, because she is far more concerned with their eternity than their feelings.
Yeah, and that is true. You know, facts don't care about feelings. And that's something we need to tell people, that they need to understand that the fact is, just like that story I told you about my daughter screaming in that tent, you know, daddy was there to help you when you were little. But if you wake up screaming and you're in hell, there's nothing I can do. It's not up to me.
Well, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we run out of time.
One thing I really want, and I don't know, we're never going to overcome this, but this whole idea that people who die automatically go to heaven, that is something that we need to get rid of, this justification by death. The second thing is, what is true faith? We need people to understand that, yes, justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but it is a faith that is life-changing. So those would be the two things I really want people to understand, and I know your listeners do, or at least I hope they do, you know. But
well, I want to make sure that our listeners know. I know that you no longer are running Nicene Council. Are the wonderful videos, documentaries, and other materials that you once had available, can people still get a hold of these things?
You know what, brother? A lot of them are on YouTube and on Rumble. And if people like Amazing Grace, I happen to know the whole thing's on YouTube. There are actually numerous sites. I tell people, just put it out there. I don't care. You can monetize it. I don't want any money from it. just whoever can watch it. I know the Marks for the Colts is out there. The one on Charles Finney.
Great.
Beware of False Prophets is out there. The late great Planet Church is out there. You can just watch them and, you know, hopefully be strengthened by them.
Great. And by the way, one of my favorite interviews is my interview with you on exposing the heresies of Charles Finney. If anybody wants to hear that, it is archived at IronTripAndZionRadio.com. Just type in Finney in the search engine, F as in Frank, I-N-N-E-Y. Well, it's been a joy, as it always is, interviewing you, Jerry, and I look forward to your many future returns, God willing, to Iron Trip and Zion Radio.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
And I want everybody listening to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.